Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Good to have everybody here with us. I'd like to begin this morning by reading a passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the 58th verse. In this passage, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians because it was his lot to evaluate the Corinthian congregation. There were some things that needed to be corrected in the church at Corinth, and Paul talks about those things in this letter and also in the 2 Corinthian letter. There were some things that were good that were going on at Corinth, and Paul talked about those things, but Paul also talked about the negative things as well. And he called upon the Corinthian congregation to evaluate themselves as to whether or not they really were standing firm and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves." As a congregation, he called upon them to do that. You know, this is the time of the year, the beginning of a new year, when we oftentimes reflect upon the past year and reflect upon the good things and maybe the bad things also. And we look ahead to the new year, and sometimes people set goals and make resolutions and those kinds of things. And I think that kind of introspection is good. I think it's good for us as a congregation of the Lord's people to do that kind of thing. And so I'd like to talk with you this morning about that as we're beginning a new year. I'd like to talk with you about the work here and talk in a very practical and pragmatic way about the things that are going on here at Valrico. I'd like to ask us to reflect, first of all, upon this past year of 2009. And let's just see if we can't look at some of our struggles and look at some of our blessings. And then also, at the end of the lesson, look ahead toward the future year, 2010. I'm going to start out this morning by talking about some of our struggles that we've had as a congregation of the Lord's people this year. In a lot of ways, and I've heard many of you express this to me, in a lot of ways, 2009 has been a tough year for a lot of our members. It has been a time of economic struggle. We have been hard hit. A lot of us have been hard hit economically. A lot of our members have lost jobs. We have had several families, at least four, if I'm not mistaken, that have had to move out of the state in order to find work. A lot of worry and anxiety as a result of the whole issue of economics and not having a job or being worried about the next paycheck and all of that kind of thing. And so that's really oppressed a lot of our members this past year in our individual lives. It's also affected us as a congregation in our corporate work, as we already have talked with you about and the elders have in congregational meetings. Our plans for building a new facility on our new property, those have been hindered by the economic downturn, and we're trying to be very prudent in a fiscal way about the decisions that we make in that regard. And so we've had to kind of use this time to just kind of pull back just a little bit about our plans in that regard. But it's been something that has been tough for a lot of people, and this has been a strugglesome year just for economic reasons. There have been a lot of our members that have also struggled with illnesses this year, and we've had some deaths. We've had Jim Luvender pass away, Lois Springborn passed away this past year. And a lot of our members have really been struggling with some severe illnesses. In fact, I've talked recently with even some preachers in other congregations here in our area and just kind of ask them, have you been experiencing what we've been experiencing? So many, it seems, of our members confronted with cancer. Just seems like an inordinate number. of people who are confronted with major illnesses, whether it's cancer or some other kind of ailment. And just a lot of our members have been struggling with that. And a lot of our members struggling with just the illnesses that accompany old age. And so it's been a tough year for that reason. There have been a lot of our members that have had marital problems that have really come to the surface in this past year. And of course, these marital problems really are things that usually have been going on for years. But especially in this past year of 2009, we've identified that in a very special way. And a lot of our couples have really been struggling along that line. And that just affects everything in a person's life. It affects everything in a person's life spiritually. And sometimes it's our spiritual neglect that produces the marital problems. And then those marital problems can sometimes then have a negative effect upon us spiritually. And so it's just kind of a vicious cycle. And so it's been tough for a lot of our couples. And then we've just had a problem with just out-and-out sinfulness in 2009. Now, sin is something that affects all of us. We're all struggling with sin every day of our lives. But there are several of our members that especially have been affected by the world, and the world has got a stranglehold on them and doesn't want to give up. And there have, in fact, been some of our members this year who already have totally just left us and left the Lord and gone into the world. And we pray so often, and as overseers of this congregation, we so often pray and talk about how, Lord, help us as we shepherd the flock, that we won't lose even one. But even as the Lord himself prayed that same kind of prayer, he recognized that he had lost at least one of his 12 disciples to the world, to sin. And there would be others, and Jesus himself foretold in his Olivet Discourse that there would be some, indeed many, who would fall away, many of his disciples. And we've experienced that in 2009. We've had some of our members, sadly, that we've had to announce that have fallen away. And we've done everything that we know to do to try to bring them back to the Lord, but it just hasn't worked. And there are others in this past year that we're very worried about, because it seems like that they're really struggling with sin in an inordinate way, and they don't appear to be winning that battle. And so we're worried about that. And so as we reflect upon this past year, there are some real struggles as a congregation that we've had to endure. But having said that, I'd also like to point out there have been some real blessings for us in 2009. There have been some real major blessings. First of all, we've had some economic blessings. Well, now, wait a minute, Marty. Did you make a mistake on your PowerPoint there? That's what you said on the previous slide about our struggles. Well, yeah, we've had economic struggles, but we've also had economic blessings. And I think we need to point that out. It's true that we've had at least four families, as I said, have to move out of the state of Florida just to find work. But they found work. And it's true that we've had a lot of our members who have lost jobs. But they've found some jobs. And sometimes it hasn't been the kind of job that they really would have liked, but they've been able to make ends meet. And even as a congregation of the Lord's people, we have been blessed economically so that we have been able to contribute of our means every Sunday and therefore have some financial resources to assist some of our own members who have been in need. And we've been blessed to be able to do that. And we need to be thankful that we have been able to do that. It's true that our building program has been hindered this past year. And yet, as we think about our current circumstances, we are able to to plan an addition that we're, if the county will let us with all the red tape, temporarily make this facility do for us by adding a little bit of an addition for as little cost as we possibly can, and provide some more classrooms so that we can at least get by here in these times. And we're able, apparently, to do that. And so that is certainly a blessing. There are some of our members who this past year, finally, after years and years and years, obtained their U.S. residency. That's pretty special to the Vandermeers, and it's special to us. Now, we still haven't figured out how to pronounce their name correctly. We've got several different pronunciations going on, you know. But the Vandermeers or Vandermeerwees or Vandermeervas or whatever, you know. This has really been special for them, that they finally have been granted that U.S. residency. And we rejoice in that. Health. Now, as we've said, we've had a lot of our members that have had some severe health issues. But I'll tell you what. Even among those members who have been struggling with serious diseases, it could be a lot worse for a lot of them. And the Lord has blessed them enough this past year that with a lot of them, they've made it another year, and it didn't always look like that would be the case. You talk to Jack Wimberly, if you don't believe me on that one. You talk to Helen Kakalis, if you don't believe me on that one. And the prospects for some of our members, even with severe health problems, the prospects right now look good. And we're still praying for so many of them. And yes, there are some that are still, as you always would expect, year to year, in some very difficult health situations. But we've also had some real blessings along that same line. And we've got some members in the military that the Lord has blessed with safety this past year. Some serving in some dangerous spots in the world. And we've prayed for them on a regular basis this past year. And those prayers have certainly been answered in a positive way, because we haven't had to announce some tragedy along that line with some of the military members or the family members who are in the military. We haven't had to announce some major tragedy. And so the Lord has blessed us in that regard. And I'll tell you, there's just a whole lot of other blessings, too. We've had 9 baptisms this past year, if my count is correct. We've had 9 people be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ this year. How special is that? How marvelous is that, that as a congregation of the Lord's people, we've been able to help those at least have some hand, some assistance in helping people to make their lives right with the Lord and enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in that. There has been tremendous spiritual growth, I think, this past year in this congregation as a result of, first and foremost, the classes that Bible teachers have spent so much effort in preparing and working for. Now, I can't speak for the auditorium class, but I tell you what, I can sure say something about the teachers in these other classes who have done such a marvelous job. And it is astounding to me the amount of effort that our Bible class teachers put into that. Whether you're talking about the Bible lab, whether you're talking about the other classes for the young people, it's just astounding. Let me make just some special comments about that. There are some of the women here who, on their own, just made a class to help those other women learn how to teach children's classes. And just spend a lot of effort in doing that. And that's just kind of the people that we have here at this congregation. That's a tremendous blessing. Let me tell you something else. One of the problems that, as elders, we've really been concerned about is our young people and their classes and whether or not we were really reaching them in those junior high and high school classes. And so we've talked with, and in fact, some of the impetus for this even came from some of the individuals I'm going to be commending. We've talked with some of these young men who are a little bit closer in age, say in their 20s or so, a little bit closer in age to those teenagers. Maybe can relate to them a little bit more, you know. I don't always know all the lingo and everything. I show my age, you know. I don't go around saying booyah all the time, you know. So don't always kind of relate just as well. And there have been some of these young men whom we've talked with, and we've encouraged them, and they've taken the bull by the horns in order to learn how to better teach teenage classes and to make that just part of their work in this church that they can do at this stage in their life. And I want to tell you what, they've just done a marvelous job with that. And they're still trying to do that, and we're still trying to use them further in that. And it has been a tremendous benefit and a tremendous source of spiritual growth for our young people. We got a new elder this past year. That kind of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? A new elder. He's really not a new elder. He's an old elder. He previously was an elder. Now he's an elder again. Carl Sutherland. And that's just great. And we're very, very thankful that he is back with us serving in that capacity. We've had some new evangelists this past year. We were so saddened to see Jeff and Jean Smith move to New York, but what that did in a practical way was enable us to have the resources and even the give us the logistical means to help support two men working in specific areas of evangelism and preaching. First of all, this past year, we were able to start a preacher training program, part-time basis, and this congregation has entered into that with vigor, and we've had Samuel Moore, we've got Kevin Harrington, who's working with us now in this preacher training program, doing a wonderful job. And that's a tremendous benefit for the Lord's kingdom, not just for this individual who's working with us, but for the kingdom as a whole, as these young men are better enabled to preach the Word of God throughout their entire life. And also, it was last January of 2009, that we began to support Ed Brown. Weren't able to do it on a full-time basis, but on a part-time basis to support him to spend more of his time in personal evangelism. Because that's something that really has just been a need for us. And he's just been doing a marvelous job in that. And he's constantly trying to improve in that and grow in his ability to help lead all of us in being more evangelistic. And so these are some good things that have been going on in this past year of 2009. And I just can't get up here and fail to mention all the tireless workers that we have in this congregation. You know, there's something special about people who don't just fulfill needs that are there, but do two things. People who look for needs and don't have to be told, they're very proactive. They see things that they can help with, and they do it. And we have a lot of our members that do that. And then also members who will tirelessly help other people who are in need, and don't tell anybody about it. Don't sound the trumpet about it. Who really appreciate what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 about not doing these things to be seen of men, but just kind of do it behind the scenes. And they're just trying to serve the Lord and serve His people. And we've got so many folks like that. And I'll tell you, as I think about all of this, I have to say a word about our teenagers. We've got a great group of teenagers. And I mentioned before that we felt like that there was something that we needed to do to improve our instruction of our teens. But let me tell you what, we've got a great group of teenagers. And they have been engaging in these Bible classes. Engaging in them. They've been trying to do something which we really have seen in the past has been something that was an area of weakness. They've been trying to correct this area of weakness where we've kind of in the past had sort of an amorphous group of teens, not really a coherent entity. But they're really trying to become more and more, and their teachers are helping them to become more and more a real obvious entity. And they've been doing things together. They've been studying together. They've been doing things in people's homes together. They've been sitting down front. And by the way, I just like to encourage them even more so to do that. And parents, try to encourage them to not just sit with mom and dad, but go sit with the young people. Be that kind of cohesive group in those teenage years. That's so important. And that's what our young people are trying to do. And it's a conscious effort on their part to do that. And I just think that is great. And we've got some really fine young adults in this group. I can't tell you how many times people comment to me about these young people in their 20s or in their 30s. Maybe a lot of them are single. A lot of them are young married couples. And they're just doing so many good things. They're participating in such a fine way. They are getting with each other, even outside of services, so that they can kind of have a sense of a cohesive group. So they can receive that edification and that strength that's so important that we all need. And we've got people in that age range that absolutely deserve our thanks. And I want to give them my highest commendation. Very thankful to God for you. And we've got some older folks whose example is just marvelous. We've got some older folks for whom it is extremely difficult to even come to services. And yet they're here. It just encourages me when I see someone like Red Gore come into church services on his walker, or when I see Dorothy back there come in with her walker. And they're here. And they're absolutely just not going to be anywhere else. And it's extremely difficult for them to be here. It isn't easy like the rest of us. It's really a struggle. But they're here. What an example is that? But that's the kind of people that we have here. We just have a lot of blessings here. And a lot of those things have been very obvious here in this past year of 2009. Well, having said all of that, let's look ahead to the future. We've got a new year, 2010. Let me talk with you, if I may, about some goals and some challenges. You know, this is the time, as I said earlier, when people set New Year's resolutions. Had a friend of mine, he's actually the wife of a friend of mine, who texted me the other day, and she said, well, and I won't say his name, she said, well, so-and-so is probably the first one to make his New Year's resolutions. He made them all at 8 o'clock this morning, and by 1 o'clock, he'd already erased one of them. And I want to suggest to you some things that we need to resolve to do. And I don't want us to erase them. I don't want us to fail to live up to these goals and these challenges, because there are some challenging things in what I'm going to be saying. Let's grow in knowledge in 2010. Let's make a conscious decision in 2010, every one of us, that we're going to grow in our knowledge. And, you know, that's what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Let's grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, how do you do that? It doesn't just happen by osmosis. It doesn't just happen by happenstance. You have to purposely do those things that will enable you to grow. Well, one thing that certainly we're trying to do as a congregation to help everyone grow in knowledge is to have Bible classes this year that will even be better than the ones we've had last year, so that people can grow in their knowledge of God's Word and therefore have those tools necessary to then implement the commandments of God in their life and have the strength and the faith that they need to have. And what that requires of us is to attend those classes, to make sure that we attend those classes. And more than that, it requires us to really engage ourselves in those classes. Now, I'm talking about, first of all, just the regular classes that we have on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and Wednesday night at 7:30. But I'm also talking about even some special classes that we are going to be having. In fact, I should have mentioned when I was talking about the things that we have been blessed with in this past year, I should have mentioned the fact that we had a marriage class specially designed to help those couples who are going through some difficulties. And should also have mentioned, meant to make a comment about the Ladies' Day that has become an annual event, which is certainly a marvelous work. Okay, those kinds of classes that we're going to have here in 2010, those kind of special classes, we need to make sure that we participate and we engage ourselves in those. In speaking about the marriage class, you know, we had to limit the marriage class this past year to a set number of people and make it by invitation only. And we promised you that we're going to have here now at the beginning of this year, we haven't exactly set the date yet, but we're going to have another marriage class for the benefit especially of all those who were not able to attend that first marriage class. And several of you were not able to attend even though we had invited you to come. Make sure, and we really expect you, but make sure that you come to this upcoming marriage class. Don't cop out on that. It's too important. And this is something for everybody. There's not going to be some limit to it. Anyone who wants to attend, we certainly would encourage them to come to the upcoming marriage class, and we'll give you the details about that later. By the way, if there is someone who there's a certain night of the week that's the only night that you can do that, let us know that up front. And maybe we can arrange that would be the night where we would have that class. Because we don't want someone to say, well, yeah, after I found out the date, well, then I couldn't come that night. Go ahead and tell us up front the night that you can do it on. And maybe we can accommodate that. And so that's one of those opportunities to grow in knowledge and to grow in our ability to understand God's will and to implement that better. That's one of those things that we can do here in 2010. I want to challenge us all to make that our goal and to meet that challenge, and to make 2010 a year that you grew spiritually and you grew in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ by engaging yourself in these opportunities that are there for you. This is our goal and our challenge I'd like us to strive for, is to grow even closer together as a body of people. To grow closer, not just to the Lord, but grow closer to one another. I tried to emphasize in some recent lessons about God's plan regarding the church. It isn't just some means whereby some corporate worship acts can be engaged in. That's not what the church is all about. What God was doing was creating a group of people who would have a relationship with each other, a kind of spiritual family that could be that source of spiritual strength and edification. And that's what we all need. And I think one of the things that is so commendable about the Valrico group is the fact that even though we are fairly large in number, we try to address the potential problems with that so we don't lose this sense of closeness. I want to encourage us like Paul encouraged the Philippians, who he said were excelling in that. He said, excel still more. I think we can excel even more as a congregation of the Lord's people who are closer knit, who are there for each other. Let's make 2010 a year where we grew in our closeness with one another. And what that means is that we've got to consciously make sure that we interact with and get to know better those members that maybe sit on the other side of the auditorium. A little bit harder maybe to get to them after services. It's going to require us then to make sure that we don't just, when services are over, and most of our members don't do this, but still, to not, as soon as services are over, just rush to the cars. And you got a lot of different exits in this building. If we're able, Lord willing, to have a new building, and if the fire marshal will let us do it, I'd love us to have one door. I don't think they'll let us, but one exit. So because what you have here is, you know, people can walk out there and immediately turn down that hall and go to their cars on that back side of the building and then never interact with anybody else. Or people can go out that door and go to those cars and never interact with anybody else. That's one of the drawbacks to the facility we have now. You got too many different ways to exit, and there's no common foyer, really, for us to congregate and to talk. And so we have to make a more conscious effort to really get closer with each other and see ourselves as that kind of close-knit family. There are several of you who have commented to me recently about this. You've said to me, I realize that part of my problem spiritually has been I've allowed myself to kind of be on the outside of the congregation. I've on the perimeter and not really been engaged with the group. I've been on the periphery. And I said, yeah, that's a real problem. And when you allow yourself to kind of just be on the periphery and you're just sort of a marginal member, a nominal member, kind of a name only, but you're not really part of the group, you just can't live the Christian life on your own, folks. God never expected us to be able to do it all ourselves. And it's only our own human hubris that makes us think that I can live my Christian life and I don't need anybody else. I don't want to get that close to anybody else. I can do it all by myself. That's a big fat lie that Satan tells you. And we just swallow that one. I've had several of you who have seen that and you've said to me, I want to change that. Well, I commend you for seeing that and wanting to change that. This year, 2010, now's the time to do that. We need to be more evangelistic. I think we can be more evangelistic, and I think that we need to be. You know, I mentioned before that we've had 9 baptisms, as we count them, in 2009. And that's good. I think we can do better than that, though. There's so many people in these communities, in these subdivisions around our building. That's part of why we're wanting to have a new facility, to have more room and be able to teach and have those visitors and do those things. And yes, it's true that, to use Paul's language, Satan has hindered us. And so, you know, at least for right now, this is what we're having to deal with, this current facility. And yeah, there are some limitations, but we can absolutely be more diligent in our evangelism. And we're as we've already said, we're trying to do more with that, and Ed's trying to do more with that here in this coming year. But we all need to think more evangelistically. Because that's something that this is too precious a gift that Jesus has given to us for us to just kind of keep it all to ourselves. And we need to take the bushel off and let that light shine so that we can convert more people to Jesus Christ from out there in this community. And Lord willing, we can and we must do that. So I challenge all of us, myself included in all of this, to be more evangelistic. And then one final thing, and the lesson will be yours. I challenge us to seek to increase our faith this year. Increase our faith. And there are some lessons that I'm going to try to give that will help us increase our faith here in 2010. But each of us need to see that as a personal goal. Because our faith is what it's all about, folks. And we have a great God who has made these promises to us. And He doesn't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. He nailed His Son to a cross as the ultimate proof that He doesn't lie. We need to increase our faith in what He says and what He promises and what He calls upon us to do for our benefit, not for His, and what He calls upon us to endure for our benefit, not for His. We need to increase our faith this year. And so I want us to close this morning with the same words I read at the very beginning. Paul's admonition to the Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Can I add the words in 2010? In 2010, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you for listening to me this morning. Is there someone this morning that needs to take hold of the Lord's hand and needs to receive the rich benefits that Jesus offers? Can we help you do that? We sure would love to. Won't you come on together? We stand and sing the song of encouragement.